Central Railroad versus R.R. Donnelly and Sons.
Morning, Your Honors.
Okay, go ahead, Mr. Steiner.
Yes, Counsel. Your Honors, I know you know, but I just wanted to restate a few facts just for the flow. This matter arises out of the Illinois Central Railroad's efforts to collect transportation charges with respect to an unidentified number of shipments of paper that were consigned to the R.R. Donnelly plant at Mattoon, Illinois, all of which stopped in transit at my client's warehouse in Kankakee, Illinois, until subsequently ordered for final delivery at Mattoon. The whole arrangement was initiated by the Illinois Central and memorialized in a memorandum, which is at appendix page 21, prepared by the Illinois Central. It originally contemplated shipments only from one consignor, Champion Paper. Ultimately, we find when we went through the documents in proceedings below that we had shipments from many people. My client had no control over what went into its facilities. It didn't place the orders for paper. It didn't place the orders for deliveries.
Why didn't SouthCheck refuse shipments when they started coming in too fast?
They didn't know that they were coming until they got there, and then the Illinois Central would take them to their yard and send a notice that it's here. They never had any opportunity. It was always their position that it was Donnelly's product. Donnelly was the consignee of the paper, and Donnelly had the contact with the mill.
Now, the Surface Transportation Board, in its order, seems to have said that it was perfectly appropriate for the Illinois Central to look to your client for demurrage.
No, they didn't say that at all.
How do you explain what they did say then?
What they did say was that the Illinois Central can charge demurrage at Kankakee. They said we don't know who from, and they also said, most critically, and nobody ever seemed to pick up on this, they said that as to the Illinois Central's principal basis or theory of liability on the part of SouthTech, that they were the consignee, this is not proven on this record.
Yeah, remember, this is a little unclear to me who the consignee is.
Well,
the STB said they could look to the consignee for demurrage.
Well, and as a matter of fact, Your Honor, that my next point, the district court failed to take into account what is the law of this circuit in Evans Products, that warehousemen are not responsible for transportation charges.
Yeah, there seems to be a conflict between some of the cases and the STB on that point.
It's the law of this circuit. The STB specifically stated that it was only referred to them for the purpose of determining whether or not demurrage could be assessed at the intermediate point and the reasonableness and no other purpose. So I would submit to the
Beg
your pardon?
They said it could be assessed at the intermediate point.
We're not arguing that. We're arguing that if it was assessed, it was Donnelly's responsibility. It was Donnelly who was obligated to pay it, but the Illinois Central never sued Donnelly. And now they can't because the statute of limitations is run.
But you didn't really challenge the district court finding that Donnelly did not agree to indemnify you for demurrage. I mean, would you agree Donnelly's out of the case at this point?
I do and I don't. Donnelly was the consignee, so they would be responsible. It's our view that the whole case is over because of Evans Product and also the other cases we've cited, none of which were responded to by the Illinois Central, and which were cited to the district court and were not reflected in the district court's opinion. There was no finding in the district court that SouthTech was the consignee. So if Donnelly was the consignee, they're liable, except that by operation of time, they're not responsible.
So you agree Donnelly's out of the case at this point?
Oh, I hesitate to say so, but I'm not, if we're acting as their agent, then I don't know that they're out of the case. The other cases seem to just presume that warehouses are acting as the agent of the true consignor.
Okay. You claim to have been an agent for Donnelly, but not every contract creates an agency relationship. What evidence is there in the record that this was a fiduciary relationship rather than a simple service contract?
There is none. I rely only on the apparent presumption in the Mid-Atlantic case and the cases that follow it that warehouses are acting as agents, that middlemen who handle freight for others who have no interest in the goods are acting as agents. Those courts seem to have presumed that by the status of being a warehouse or a middleman.
You're talking about the D.C. Circuit case, the Mid-Atlantic Conference?
Yes.
Well, that's what that case says. But the SCB didn't seem to pay much attention to it, and you didn't.
They said we won't
decide. You didn't appeal that order.
They said we won't decide that issue.
Well, wait a minute. I'm not sure they said that.
It says both parties were integral to the transportation movement under the tariff. South said, and I guess you're relying on appears to have been the party for whom the cars were held is en route, and making South Tech, and then it puts in parentheses, or Donnelly, if South Tech is its agent, liable here under the ICC's tariff, and would advance Demurrage's primary objective of providing economic deterrent to undue car detention. Now, that seems to be fairly conclusive that either South Tech or Donnelly, and the only way Donnelly is liable under this ruling is if South Tech is its agent.
Not necessarily, Your Honor. If Donnelly's the consignee, they're liable. And it's our view that Donnelly's the consignee.
And that was not resolved anywhere?
Not resolved anywhere. It has specifically, the STB said, we can't determine on this record the IC's principal theory of liability that South Tech was the consignee.
Was that what supposedly was sent back to the district court to determine?
I hesitate to say yes because the STB said you only referred it to us to decide issue A, which was can demurrage be assessed at the intermediate point? And the answer to that is yes. These other issues, well, interesting, weren't referred to us. The district court can decide them.
That language seems to me to say that the only way that Donnelly can be held is if there's an agency relationship.
I don't know how you rationalize that with Evans Products.
He just read it. That's what it sounds like to me. Whether that conflicts with all these cases, I don't know. It seems to conflict with a number of cases. That's what's puzzling to me. But
it will,
don't you have to appeal and get their ruling reversed?
Well, the STB sent it back to the district court saying we decided the one issue you sent to us. I would submit that the rest of it is dicta, that we don't have to appeal it because it wasn't what it was referred to the STB to decide.
They just did it gratuitously.
Well, that's
They said, absolutely, Your Honor.
A risky route to follow, it seems to me.
And the district court never put anything in its opinion. The district court had fully briefed cross motions for summary judgment for a year. There was nothing in there about this.
Now, South Tech did benefit from the shipment, right?
We got 22 to 27 cents per hundredweight for stripping the cars and storing the paper, which was less than what the demurrage charges were. We would have been better off just having the cars sent back, which we would have done had we been in a position to do that. They were already here by the time we knew about them. I might also point out that the problem was really because the railroad, who, if you look at Appendix 21, that memo, the railroad built our siding. They knew the size. They knew we could take six cars per switch, and they were giving us one switch a day.
Isn't the real problem the fact that the tariff was written so broadly, well, certainly broadly enough to possibly include South Czech as a party for whom the shipment is held?
Well, I submit that Evans Products and Matson and CSX say that if they're not the consignee and they don't have a contract with the railroad, you can't hold them to the tariff anyway. It doesn't matter.
So it doesn't matter how, so the phrase party for whom the car is held, if en route.
We're not a party to the transportation contract because we're not the consignee. We're not a party to any other contract with the railroad. And that's what Matson says, that's what CSX says, and that's what this court says in Evans Products.
There are a lot of bills of lading show you as a consignee, though.
More show that we weren't. Cross motions well, for the, summary judgment.
What's the proportion that do as against the ones that don't?
Well, Matson, this court, and CSX also say that because someone we didn't permit to name us as a consignee did so, doesn't have any binding effect. And I don't know the portion. All I had to do was rebut the presentation by the Illinois Central to create an issue of material fact on that. Although I think as a matter of law, with the law of this circuit, together with Matson and CSX, that we're entitled to summary judgment in our favor. And I'll reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal. Thank you.
Okay. Who's next? Mr. Tobin?
I plead the court, counsel, Miles Tobin representing Illinois Central Railroad.
Could you please respond to Evans Products? Because you didn't in the brief.
Frankly,
how do you
Your
distinguish?
Honor, I distinguish on the basis that, and let me do a broad brush, if you will, on Amatec and Matson and the other cases cited. None of those cases, well, most of those cases had circumstances in which the then ICC, now STB, had ruled that there was no applicability of a tariff, and the court was simply affirming. Some of those cases the issue is not presented to the STB. None of those cases dealt with the situation which we have here, which Your Honors have, I think, correctly pointed out. We have a dispositive STB order, and that is a critical focus here, that the STB looked at the Illinois Central Tariff, determined that it could apply at a storage and transit location to Donnelly and South Tech, and held that the only issue for the district court to review, based on the fact that the agency issue is not referred to it, was the agency question. And as your honors correctly pointed out, it could have been appealed, and by not appealing it under 1336C, the STB decision becomes dispositive. They could have at any point, Donnelly or South Tech, challenged the tariff itself under several methodologies at the time. They didn't do that. We had, in Illinois Central's view, certainly a valid tariff. The STB held it to be a valid tariff and held it to clearly apply to South Tech and Donnelly. The only issue for the district court being whether South Tech was the disclosed agent for Donnelly. Bottom line, none of those cases cited by South Tech do you have a valid STB order. I do want to point out a couple of items mentioned.
Are you saying these other cases, Atlantic Conference and so on, are just interpretations of the tariff? They don't
I'm saying that they deal with circumstances, again, many of them deal with circumstances where the ICC did interpret a tariff, conclude that it was not applicable, and the courts were affirming that order. In other circumstances, there was no STB order at all to address. Here, you had an STB order,
What's your best evidence that South Tech was the consignee of the shipment?
Let me say a couple things on that point. First of all, in some respects, South Tech being a consignee in the true sense of a consignee is not particularly relevant, and I think counsel is leading you down a garden path to go down that route. The tariff said the demurrage charges could apply to consignor at origin, consignee at destination, and the party for whom the product is held if en route. That central focus, which is what the STB held, could apply to SouthTek here. The bills of lading, both inbound and outbound, counsel is correct that there was a multiplicity. Some had SouthTek as consignee, some had SouthTek as the in care of party. All of the outbound bills of lading.
It can't be the bills of lading.
Right, but that's really the point. I mean, the cars were moving in. SouthTek accepted them, and I might point out for counsel, I think it's a bit disingenuous to say, "My God, the cars got there. What can we do?" Normal freight transportation is cars get there for whatever reason. You don't want to accept them. You just reject them. The railroad would have been obligated, if the cars had been rejected by SouthTek, to call the origin shipper and say, "Okay, what do you want me to do with them?"
Mr. Tobin, because you have so little time and I have so many questions, where in the record will we find admissible evidence proving the amount of the damages?
What you have, Your Honor, is several things. One is in the complaint we indicated that there was $160,000, $170,000 due. SouthTek admitted that it had been billed for all of those charges, that it had received those shipments, and all it was disputing was whether or not those charges were properly assessed against it.
Well, are you assuming that SouthTek is consignee for all purposes?
What I'm saying, Your Honor, is that SouthTek is the party for whom the car was held en route and for all purposes under the SDIC tariff was liable for demurrage charges at its location. It's certainly not the ultimate consignee at destination, which was Mattoon.
Well, in other words, you haven't identified certain invoices that identify SouthTek as consignee.
SouthTek is the recipient of the product on all bills of lading.
So you are assuming they're consignee for all purposes.
What I'm saying, Your Honor, is they are the party for whom the cars were held en route at Mattoon. They are the named consignee. On many of the bills of lading, they're the named consignor on all of the outbound bills of lading. But the issue is whether under IC's tariff they were properly held liable, and under IC and the STB held that they could be held liable if they weren't the disclosed agent. So to focus on whether they were or they were not the consignee is not what IC's tariff was all about, and is not what the STB focused on.
Section 10.7.43, which Judge Mirovitz was interpreting here.
Yes, Your Honor.
Uses the word consignee throughout. Doesn't seem to me to be applicable unless you are dealing with a consignee, whatever that is.
Well, what I would...
He interpreted it rather strictly in terms of this section. So it seems to me if this section doesn't apply, then I assume that you go to some more common law definition of a principal and agent rather than hold the agent to the strict provisions of this section.
Well, I'd say a couple
of things. Stand or fall together? I mean, don't you have to be a consignee in order to get under this section?
I would say a couple things, Your Honor. I think what the statute is, consignee with a small c as opposed to a large c, in the sense that what it's referring to is the recipient of the goods.
That's where the cars are going.
That's right, exactly. What I'd also say is even if you get beyond the statute, there was no evidence in the record. My time is up, but if I could finish this thought, Your Honor. There was no evidence in the record that Illinois Central should have validly known that SouthTek was the agent of Donnelly. In point of fact, throughout the motions for summary judgment,
wait a minute,
Donnelly,
you're the party who set the deal up in the first place.
Your Honor, in these. There are third party brokers, if you will, that set up deals all the time. That doesn't automatically make it an agency relationship. It is true that we put the two parties together to work out whatever deal they were going to work out. We were never privy to or apprised of the contract between the two parties, and in fact, Donnelly, in the motions for summary judgment, has denied an agency relationship between it and Southwick. In that case, how is the railroad supposed to be imputed with this knowledge?
What's the matter with actual knowledge in a situation like
what
this?
These
two shippers are closely tied together. One of them is acting on behalf of the other, whether they're an agent or not.
That's where I respectfully disagree, Your Honor. The railroad has an industrial development department where it goes out and locates land that puts receivers or shippers on the land, and then ships goods to those locations. That doesn't automatically make that new industry an agent of the party who shipped the goods. The focus has got to be the relationship between...
Well, they're just storing the paper for the other party, so they would appear to be in some ancillary capacity to...
They had a contract with Donnelly, which we were not privy to, which had certain rights and responsibilities, and said what the relationship is you would be acting in. Donnelly is contesting that was an agency relationship. How am I supposed to know? How's the railroad supposed to say, well, I don't care that the principal says it's not an agency relationship. We're imputed with some knowledge that it was.
Well, you know, you claim to have given Southwick a copy of your rules and tariffs and specifically explained the avoidance of demurrage, and they denied that ever happened. Isn't that an issue of genuine? We're having summary judgment problems. What isn't that a genuine issue of material fact?
What I would suggest to you, Your Honor, is that the evidence indicated that during the course of the demurrage assessments, it is certainly Illinois Central's fact and contention in its affidavit that the demurrage tariffs were given to Donnelly, to Southwick and Donnelly, which is the railroad's practice to give all recipients copies of the demurrage tariff. In this specific instance, they indicated that they specifically gave it, but certainly the evidence is also that during the course of these issues where the demurrage was accruing, it wasn't like this demurrage accrued for a year and then the railroad came back and said, hey, surprise, here's this tariff that you should have looked at 2 years ago. These were ongoing conversations then that there's a demurrage tariff. My time is up, Your Honors. If you have no other questions, I don't...
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Mr. Conway.
Good morning, Your Honors. Counsel. My name is John Conway. I represent R. Donnelly in this issue. And I think Justice Robner hit this nail right on the head. We are out of this case at this point. R. Donnelly was only sued in this action by a third party. In a third party complaint, they were sued by Southwick Warehouse. Donnelly has not been sued by the Illinois Central Railroad for the demurrage charges in this case.
Was Southwick your agent?
No, Your Honor. Southwick
was independent. Was it the consignee of the shipment?
Was Donnelly a consignee?
No, Southwick.
I don't know if legally they were a consignee on the shipments, Your Honor. Certainly they were a stoppage and transit point. What was contemplated by this arrangement was it would be considered to be one movement from origin to destination, the destination being Mattoon.
Help me with this. Where in this record will we find the best evidence of both these points?
Of who is the consignee?
Of whether it was the consignee, whether it was the agent.
I think with respect
whether
to...
Whether it was a tea kettle. I mean, where...
I think the original memo sets forth that this is considered to be one move and that there's only going to be one origin, one destination, that the stoppage and transit point at Southwick was not going to incur any additional charges. I think that was always the contemplation of all the parties. With respect to Donnelly's position, Illinois Central never sued Donnelly for the demurrage charges. There's a 3-year statute of limitations to bring such an action. Such time limit has lapsed. Southwick's only contention is that Donnelly had some sort of an indemnification provision in the contract between Donnelly and Southwick. However, we've raised two issues in our brief, Your Honor, which lead this court to affirm the district court's grant of summary judgment in favor of Donnelly. Our first issue, which I think Justice Rovner hit upon also, is that the waiver issue, that Southtec provided no argument, they cited no case law, and they did not even argue against the district court's grant of summary judgment in favor of Donnelly in their appellant brief. And this court has consistently held that failure to address any one of the district court's holdings results in a waiver. That's Jones versus Union Pacific, that was decided in 2002 by this one of the honors on this panel. I also rely on U.S. versus Feinberg, that says any issue that the appellant wants to address is waived and forfeited unless they bring that up in their appellant brief. And again, Southtec does not take any issue whatsoever with the district court's grant of summary judgment in favor of Donnelly. Our other point, besides the waiver, is the fact that Southtec admits, even in its appellant brief, that there is no indemnification provision in the agreement. Southtec provides at page 10 of its brief that the only provisions in its contract with Donnelly was to charge Donnelly for storage and handling of paper. And to quote from their brief, they say, no other services, charges, or costs were specified in the agreements between Donnelly and Southtec. The district court correctly ruled that there was no such indemnification agreement, and one will not be construed into this contract. This panel, or this court, has also ruled that indemnification agreements are not favored, and they will not be read into contracts where the provision does not exist.
After these events, you then agreed to pick up the demurrage, is that right?
Well, we did need, there was an embargo placed by the Illinois Central Railroad, and we did need our raw product. So in order to get the product from Southtec to our premises in Mattoon, we did agree after a certain point in time, expressly agree, we'll pick up any demurrage charges after that. And I think the court should be mindful that during this time period, there were some direct shipments of paper that the IC was handling that would go direct to Mattoon, where Donnelly was charged for demurrage, and all those demurrage charges were paid by Donnelly. But there is no indemnification agreement running between Donnelly and Southtec that provide for, whereby Donnelly is supposed to indemnify Southtec for any demurrage charges. I think it's important to note that Southtec never advised Donnelly that these demurrage charges were accruing. The first demurrage charge accrued in September of 1994. There's nothing in the record, and it's admitted by Southtec that they never advised Donnelly of the accrual of these charges. And they specifically asked for a change or a modification in the storage agreement with Donnelly. And at that point in time, the changes were allowed by Donnelly, and at that time, the demurrage charges were still not addressed. So I think these waiver issues, Your Honor, even after we addressed it in our appellee brief, Southtec still did not address any issues with respect to the indemnification issue or the waiver issue. The summary judgment in favor of Donnelly and against Southtec should be affirmed.
Okay. Senator, 3 minutes.
Thank you, Your Honors. First and foremost, Mr. Conway errs when he suggests that we didn't argue and waived the agency argument in our appellant brief, page 24 and 25. We do raise the issue, recite two cases, U.S. v. Feldman and Central States v. Simplot, where an agency agreement can be inferred from the circumstances and behavior of the parties. Who are we receiving this paper for if not for Donnelly? They're the primary obligation here. I wanted to talk about damages. The complaint, and I'll read to you the language of the STB, page 6. Further, IC's primary collection theory adds to Southtec that Southtec was the consignee of shipments to Kankakee rather than an undisclosed agent can neither be proved nor disproved on this record. The complaint, the only basis of their allegation of our liability was paragraph, Southtec was the consignee. Paragraph, because they were the consignee, they owe us $160,000. There is not a single affidavit where they present any bills, any calculations. There is nothing in the record as to how the calculations were arrived at. Mr. Tobin submitted an affidavit to the district court. He could have added that into it. He was an officer of the Illinois Central at the time. Nobody put anything in. There are bills of lading that we introduced that showed that cars that were by the bill of lading routed directly to Mattoon somehow showed up at Kankakee. One can only assume those are lumped together with what they're seeking from us. You can't tell what cars they're seeking demurrage charges from and what cars they're not. If it's a misrouting that a car going to Mattoon is being delivered at Kankakee, they're not entitled to demurrage charges. They're only entitled to demurrage charge, if at all, on what were ours.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. The case will be taken under advisement.